Real Estate Radio Boston is a paid program sponsored by Guaranteed Rate Incorporated, which is solely responsible for its content. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS ID 2611, Equal Housing Lender. Mortgage Lender and Mortgage Broker License MC 2611. Rick Shearer, NMLS ID 454910. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. All applications subject to credit approval. Call Guaranteed Rates Boston office at 617-778-0024 for additional cost information.
Real Estate Radio Boston with loan officer Rick Shearer of Guaranteed Rate and legal professional Ali Alavi of Alavi Braza PC. This is Real Estate Radio Boston.
Hello and welcome to Real Estate Radio Boston. We are your hosts, Rick Shear and Ali Alavi.
How are you, my friend?
I am doing phenomenal.
Excellent, excellent. Let's chat about the market, because I think the market's a little strange. It's acting a little weird, right? I mean, eight consecutive days of the market being down, and this is in the face of the fact that there's some fairly positive news that's coming out of the market. So
yeah, jobs report came out better than expected.
179,000 jobs that were added, not way ahead of what was expected. They were expecting 170, 179, and yet the market didn't react at all. I want to hear your take. Why do you think the market isn't reacting, and how is it impacting the rates, and what should the consumers really take from this?
The net effect of the stock market versus the bond market is the fact that rates are benefiting. So we are seeing rates come back down. I think the economy is still weak, and although the job numbers are coming out, the problem with the job numbers that are coming out is the jobs that are being added are typically the lower paying sector jobs. We're not really replacing $150,000 marketing positions and adding those type of positions, but we're adding things that are lower pay scale in mm-hmm. the marketplace. So yeah, the numbers are there. However, I just don't think the jobs that are filling those numbers are the
ones. So you're thinking it's the quality of jobs. I beg to differ. I think it's a combination. I think the quality of jobs that are being added are fairly diverse, and I think the reason is that we're seeing growth that's happening on the real estate side that essentially impacts every sector of the industry. But I also think it's probably a function of what's happening internationally. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, there's a lot of stuff that's going on. We're still dealing with this whole Brexit thing, the uncertainties in the marketplace. So that's obviously calling a lot of uncertainty into the stock market. And again, we're starting to see a lot of pressure in that. And again, money is flowing from there into the bond market. And so we're seeing people jumping on the bandwagon of getting refinanced. And a lot of people are out there chomping at the bit to buy a home and get under agreement so they can lock in some of these low interest rates.
Now, speaking of buying a home, I know there's a great segment of the people that you and I service are interested in buying condos.
Yeah.
And I know that you've made a transition from your previous company. Now, what, you're 3 weeks or 2 weeks into your new company, Guaranteed Rate?
A couple weeks, yeah.
And that has made a serious impact on your business already. I hear it. I see it.
Yeah.
But what are some of the challenges that buyers that are thinking about perhaps purchasing condos are faced with, and how do you address those challenges?
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, we've talked about Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Essentially, 90% of the mortgages that are written come from these two facilitators, and they have guidelines around condominiums. These guidelines were really, you know, came up with in the 80s when people when the downturn happened in the 80s, they said, hey, let's put some parameters around condos. So, you know, there are some hard and fast rules that a lot of lenders need to adhere to when it comes to condos. The nice part about joining Guaranteed Rate is because of our short volume and because of our relationship with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, we are able to do things that a lot of other companies can't do.
Like what?
Well, so for instance, on a new condo project, when you're putting up 20 or 30 or 50 condo units, the lenders are really skittish about being the first one to finance that one first unit in there.
They should be. They got burned before.
Yeah, because what happens if no one wants to buy the other 30?
Right.
And that becomes an issue. So, in this marketplace, it's not as a big issue just because the market is so hot. But, you know, there are certain percentages that a lot of lenders need to adhere to. Typically, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac doesn't really want to get involved with financing. financing unless at least 50% are sold. So then we rely on portfolio lenders.
Is it sold or under agreement?
Under agreement. Under bona fide purchase and sale. You know, in Guarantee Rate, we'll do it at 30%. And so we can get into the game a little bit quicker than a lot of them.
Nice.
A lot of people are running into, a lot of investors who want to buy condos as investment properties are running into an issue where if there's not 50% of the building isn't owner-occupied, I mean, there's more investors in the building than there are owner-occupies, it's really tough to buy a investment condo.
Because it's outside the guidelines by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, right?
And so we utilize some portfolio make sense investors that will take a look at those different products. And so we have financing for pretty much everybody, but there are things that you need to navigate through if you're looking to buy a condo in the marketplace.
I think the advice for a new buyer that's planning on buying a new condo project is, I think you need to start your homework early on prior to putting your offer in. And a lot of the developers nowadays are very amenable in providing you with condo documents, draft condo documents, rules and regulations, so on and so forth. I think the discussion with your lender, I think that's the advice I'm hearing from you, is to be early. Have that discussion, call 855-4-ASK-RICK. You can have a conversation with Rick and talk to him so he can navigate through those guidelines, because if it's outside of those guidelines, and if it's not, if it's less than 30%, there aren't that many lenders out there that may actually offer financing unless they're portfolio in nature. Now, for those listeners that are driving around and don't know what portfolio lending is, just give them a 2-second quick synopsis on this.
A lot of local banks, essentially what they'll do is they'll make a common sense underwriting decision. Typically, they're local, and they'll put it in their portfolio. So they really don't have to adhere to a Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac set of guidelines. So and we have a lot of partnerships with a lot of those type of lenders here. So if a client calls me and I can't do it, you know, I'll absolutely be able to refer them to someone that can. And you know, that kind of just kind of goes into our show today, because we're so excited. We've got Sue Hawkshire. She is with the Collaborative Companies. What they are is a marketing company for luxury new construction projects in the city.
In and around the city. President and CEO. She's been doing it for a very, very long time. She's going to give us a very fresh perspective of the challenges that developers are faced with regards to new construction and where the trend is going.
Right.
And how that ties really to other guests that we have.
Well, and then one other thing too. I mean, the fact that Sue really is involved with the dirt, as you know, when they're buying the dirt, she knows kind of what's on the horizon and what's
exactly
on the markets coming to Boston.
And these developers rely on her insight in order to be able to sell those units, which it could be challenging.
Yeah, we're excited to hear about that.
Yeah, Randall Engelman and Eric Gould from Focus Real Estate. They're here in the studio. Brand new company. They've been in the business for a very long time. Brand new company. We're excited to hear about their company, how they service their clients, and what their take is on the market, where we're heading. And I'm going to ask some crystal ball questions here, too, which would be interesting.
We've got Michael Montero, who is with Buildium. They're a property management software company, but you know, they're a nationwide company, so they have a fresh perspective on what's going on in property management, but also in the market itself. What's going on with rentals right now? What's going on with some of the big hurdles that that consumers are coming up against, but also management companies are coming up against as well?
Are the rents still going up? I guess you'll have to wait and find out.
Absolutely. If you're just tuning in, this is Real Estate Radio Boston. Up next, we've got Sue Hawks. She is with the Collaborative Companies. Stay tuned. Be right back. Welcome back, WBZ 1030, Real Estate Radio Boston. Go check us out at realestateradioboston.com. That's realestateradioboston.com. Give us a call at 855-4 Ask Rick, and let us be your real estate concierge. If you need a listing agent, if you need a buyer's agent, if you need anything in real estate, give Ollie and I a call, and we will certainly help you out.
Absolutely. We have the pleasure and privilege of having Sue Hawks, president and CEO of the Collaborative Companies, in the studio. How are you, Sue?
I'm great, thanks. Thanks for having me here today.
Absolutely. It's wonderful to have you here. Before we get started, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself? You've been in the business for a very long time.
Very long time.
With the Collaborative Company since 1997.
That's correct.
Prior to that, you were a commercial guru. We're not going to get into the details of that.
Thanks for leaving that out. The Codman Company.
That's right.
A big old Boston name.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about what does the Collaborative Companies do?
We are a boutique real estate firm that does specifically research, project development, and then turnkeys sales and marketing, or leasing and marketing, for large multifamily builders.
And the luxury, let's hit the luxury piece of it. I mean, and you kind of jokingly said before the show that, you know, it's almost right now to afford to build it. It's got to be luxury. But you help developers from really the ground up, from the piece of dirt. Talk
we
to
do.
Us about that.
We do. We really focus on what the market wants in that location, what it can afford to buy in that location, and specifically the unit mix, the design development within that unit mix. We work through the amenities, the common space. We work with the legal issues in terms of what can be provided within that particular piece of dirt. And then we're responsible for all the branding and turnkey disposition of the property.
How much homework does it go into prior to the developer even wanting to acquire the land? Because I think that, I mean, granted, there are certain pieces of land that I may or may not want to take a gamble at. And do they come to you prior to the acquisition of the dirt, or does your work start once the dirt is acquired?
Both, absolutely. Okay. Long-term clients value our expertise, and they come to us as they're contemplating a purchase. We get involved in a lot of the RFPs. If you look at right now in Boston, there are several large RFPs out there being provided by the city and our MassDOT, and we do get involved in that as well, being part of the team, and certainly solicitation of the reward of the opportunity, and our information is obviously critical in terms of their pro forma. Mm-hmm. So we do both sides.
Yeah. How does Boston, I mean, no matter who you speak to as far as experts nationally and locally, Boston has a very unique recipe that has now, even more than ever before, is on the radar. I mean, we look at the fact that you have strong healthcare, you have strong biotech sector, you have strong financial sector, you have a strong educational sector. And the combination of this recipe allows influx of intelligence, influx of high-paying jobs into this particular area. And as a result of that, there's a great deal of investor interest in this area.
And foreign money, too. Let's talk a little bit about that, because you've got a whole different type of buyer coming into the marketplace.
No question about it. And the drivers of all the aforementioned divisions that you spoke about absolutely have changed the face of Boston. I think it's a paradigm shift. I think we are on the international screen now where we weren't before. We were pretty much second fiddle to San Francisco and New York, and now absolutely considered a peer. The challenge, of course, is providing opportunities for people to live, and that's a challenge here, and the costs associated, but it's no different than New York and San Francisco. The international buyer has come here in droves in the last 5 years, and clearly some of that's a direct correlation to what's going on in their home country, and their opportunity for looking at Boston or the United States, and Boston in particular, as a safe haven for investment. They'll park money here, and they're happy to do it because they feel at least it's going to be here in 5 years.
I'm assuming that there is additional challenges associated with an international investor that has no idea what the climate is, regulatory climate, legal climate, as far as dealing with the BRA and dealing with the code, so on and so forth. Do you feel that you have to spend more time with an international developer that's going to be making building a big project here, as opposed to a more domestic builder?
Well, there's no question that that's a difference. But none of them try to do it alone. The international JV opportunity is large, and they're smart enough to realize what they don't know. They're also smart enough to realize that in order to get anything approved here, they need to be connected and understand the industry and the mores associated with development here. So they partner up in 100% of the time with a local developer that clearly can get the job done.
Gotcha.
It remains to be seen whether or not they don't go off on their own eventually in the next project,
right,
and take that learning curve and go from there, because they provide the equity and they provide the money.
Let's talk a little bit, because again, before the show, we were talking about your resume of all of these great, phenomenal projects that you've been part of. Those projects, and I'd love you to name a couple as well, but you're starting to see, you guys are, or the developers in the market are starting to push the price per square foot to a new high. Talk about that. I mean, has that been a challenge?
Well, not yet, but I think we all know that this is a cyclical environment. Right now, it is extraordinary. I mean, we were talking earlier about the three major projects that are underway now. One is the Ink Block project, which is the South End and the gentrification of the old Harrell building.
Right.
And the price points of both Sepia and now Sienna are anywhere from $1,100 to $1,200 a foot, which is a number that was literally half of that five years ago,
yeah,
for the local inventory.
Yeah, it was definitely $600 a foot.
Huge.
Yeah.
And then you look at Assembly Square, a project we just launched 4 weeks ago. We're 35% sold at this point in 4 weeks, and the pricing there is approaching over $850 a foot.
And that's in Somerville.
That's in Somerville at Assembly Row and top of a major hotel. So that's an unusual situation. And then you look at Pierce, which is on top of by the Samuels Company, on top of the Fenway. And that project is broaching over $1,600 a foot.
Wow.
And again, Fenway was less than half of that. So it really...
I lived in Fenway.
Fenway was like. No, but it speaks
to... I remember the fact that there was nothing on Boylston Street. And you drive there now and you see these skyscrapers that have gone up, and it boggles my mind that it's $1,600 per square foot. It's nuts what's happening.
Well, it is, but all three of those projects speak to the fact that you have to create the sense of place, and all three of them have done that. So
right.
I think that people are less sensitive to the neighborhood these days. They're more neighborhood agnostic. They're willing to look at all different neighborhoods for new construction, and that just speaks to the
answer. How high will it go, Sue?
Well, if you had asked me 5 years ago, I would have thought 2,000 was a threshold. We already have two or three projects in the city that are well over that.
Exactly.
So
we don't know.
So, you know, we had a great conversation in the last show just with the Massachusetts Association of Realtors. We're in the studio. We talked bubble, softening, or nothing. And, you know, again, you're able to get into these projects really at the ground level, the dirt level, which means that to get a product to the market and sold could take a couple of years. Permitting 5 years.
Years on average.
So now, I mean, again, we're talking about these different buzz terms right now, and you got a developer that comes to you and know that product's not going to hit for another 5 years. What are you saying to them? Are we still going to see those prices? Again, we don't know. We don't know what's happening. But, you know, what's your crystal ball say?
Boy, I hate this question. It's a no win. No, I mean, I think everybody knows that this is a cyclical business.
Right.
We're about 6 or 7 years into the cycle right now. I'd like to say five, but it's hard to tell. I do think that if we look at the drivers of this particular segment in this cycle, they're huge. They don't show any sign of relaxing. As long as the global economy continues to be pretty stable, I think we're a unique opportunity, and we're going to continue to lead the market in the country because of the education, the academics, the biotech, the finance, all the things that are significantly important to the underpinnings.
And also, let's not give credit to the legislature, give credit to the people that are at the helm that have created some incredibly attractive tax breaks for corporations to come here. And I think that's one of the reasons why we're seeing GE coming here, so on and so forth. So that speaks volumes as well. I'm on the fence of bubble, I think. You're on the fence of softening. And I would say that I agree. No matter whether it's a bubble or whether it's softening, I think we are going to fare well.
Yeah. No, this was great, Sue. Sue, if there's developers out there, people want to contact you to really take care of their project or get more information on some of the projects you talked about, what's the best way to reach you guys?
We are 20 Park Plaza. The phone number is 617-236-0060. Thank you very much.
Sue, thank you so much for coming in the studio.
Thank you.
If you're just tuning in, this is Real Estate Radio Boston. Up next, we've got Focus Real Estate in here. We've got Eric Gould and Randall Eggleman, and they'll be with us. Stay tuned. Be right back. Welcome back, Real Estate Radio Boston. Check us out, realestateradioboston.com. That's realestateradioboston.com. And give us a call at 8554-ASK-RICK. I want to welcome in our friends from Focus Real Estate. We've got Randall Engelman and we've got Eric Gould. How are you guys?
Great. Thanks for having us here.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, you've been in the business for a very long time, and Focus Real Estate is relatively new. So I want for those listeners that may not have heard of you guys to tell us a little bit about you and obviously tell us what's the motivator behind opening and creating Focus Real Estate.
Is it okay that we say it was rather serendipitous that we opened this company?
Sure, because it's true.
It's true. Yeah, we've been in real estate sales for 15 years, started in 01. And it's been a fun build, really. We've built a really nice company, or a really nice business, providing real estate services to people, really on a very different level than what Sue was talking about. We're really involved with what they would probably call a one-off, working with personal residential homeowners in their
purchases. Individual buyers and sellers, buying one home at a time.
Yeah. So in our the Focus Real Estate came about through a dog walk more than anything, I think. We had a very successful year in 2015, and it did make us think about what the future was gonna hold for us. And we were walking the dog down the street just a couple blocks from our home, and there was a for rent sign in an old store. And it just happened to be on a corner in a beautiful location in the middle of the market that we serve the most. And Eric kind of said, yeah, we should go and look at that. And I was a little overwhelmed. And he's like, my response was,
Which is unusual because we've been together for 24 years, and he's usually the driving force in things. And so this was unusual for him to be me saying, no, let's check this out.
Yeah, and we finally got an appointment to see the space, and it was just a beautiful space. Very, very open and clear, lots and lots of light on a corner location with a lot of great windows. And we really walked into the space, and I just looked at the landlord and said, well, we'll take it. And of course, if turnaround is fair enough play for us, we ended up in a multiple offer situation.
Oh, of course.
On a lease.
Oh, my God. You guys are used to that.
So why the word focus? Let's talk about that.
So we both had been working for the last 15 years for a number of larger brokerages, national brokerages, or at least regional big brokerages. Mm-hmm. And so when we took the lease on the space and was going independent, we're like, what name do we use? You know, it's cliche in real estate. Many companies and agents use their name. But for us, it's not about us. It's about our clients. Mm. And so we wanted to come up with a name that wasn't all about us and our ego and what we do, but about the clients.
Yeah, and really something that would indicate vision or transparency. Right. I think that's a really important through the lens. Vision is important.
Sorry. Numbers don't lie, right? I mean, you guys have over almost $200 million in sales. You guys have sold...
Let's back up. Let's stop
there.
Yeah,
please.
Because $200 million in sales, I mean, people driving in their car might just go, oh, what does that mean? Mm. That means a lot of real estate, guys. I mean, I think the average person in real estate in a year does, what, $4 million, $5 million? And
yeah,
I think that's
like
even
that.
Pretty aggressive.
And that's pretty good. Yeah. That's a pretty good year for a lot of agents.
So the fact that you guys as a team have done over $200 million in transactions says volumes, but I think the statistic you're about to get into speaks even higher.
Yeah, I mean, over 400 homes sold, but really more compelling is the fact that you have 100% customer satisfaction. And that's really a difficult thing to achieve when you're dealing with the service industry, when you're dealing with sales, when you're dealing with real estate, which is so incredibly emotionally charged.
And emotional. I was going to say, and emotional. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
How do you do it? Tell us your secret recipe of success.
Well, I guess you really put them first, I think, is the most important thing. And we don't really view a sale as a sale or just from a transaction, you know?
Yeah.
It's really about being a consultant and being able to offer knowledge and expertise and advice about what's happening in the market. Not just today, not just this season, not just this week, but really looking at trends and stuff like that, but really helping our clients understand what's going on, educating them so that they can make the right decisions for them. A lot of times it's like, these are your options for pricing your property. What's your goal? You know, everybody has different goals.
And it's our job to get to them.
Have you ever discouraged a particular client? Because let's face it. I mean, in today's market, everybody, I think all buyers are frustrated, right? Because we talked about the fact, we talked with Sue about these developments going up, and they can't go up fast enough because there is just simply isn't enough inventory. And I think you can cooperate with that. And so I think buyers that are out there, they're putting multiple offers. Their offers are not being accepted. They're being outbid, so on and so forth. So it's disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. So do you find yourself discouraging a buyer from putting an offer on a particular property because it just doesn't match their criteria, but they want to do it just to get it over with?
I would say yes. Absolutely. There have been times that we've worked with a buyer who, for some reason, got caught up in the emotional aspect of buying a home and the multiple offers, and people sometimes lose vision, especially in these multiple offers. They lose sight of what's important. There's a psychological frenzy that goes on, and it's like kind of reminding them, is this really the property? Because you did tell me, again, it's listening to them and their needs. Mm. A lot of times you sit down with them and they say they want this, this, and this, and then they go find something. It doesn't have hardly anything that they said they told us.
But they're
they
just
wanted.
Sick of fighting, sick
they're
of bidding.
They're sick of fighting, so they're tired, they want something. So sometimes we have to remind them. And again, it's their decision, but say, let's take a step back. You're getting caught up here, or this is what's going on, but you mentioned to me that you were looking for this and this, and this was important. This house doesn't have this. Are you sure this is where you want to go? Mm. And getting them to step back and think about it.
So, I mean, you know, we talked about, you mentioned something in a minute. You guys took a office space on a place that you do a lot of business in. Let's talk about that for a second. Where do you guys concentrate your business in, and what's that market like right now?
Well, we tend to concentrate. We live and work mostly in Jamaica Plain.
Yep.
Real estate is a job of relationships. And you end up working with the people that you have those strong relationships with. And it's usually within your neighborhood. So a lot of the business that we do is in Jamaica Plain and the surrounding communities from Boston into Brookline, Newton, Roslindale, West Roxbury. But we go where our clients take us.
Right.
Our clients sometimes take us to Norton.
Sometimes
they take us to Westwood. Sometimes they take us to, you know, any
Fitchburg.
Fitchburg.
Right.
You know, it happens. So, and that's really fun because it's a fun challenge. You get to learn a new market. You get to dive into a different area. Sometimes it takes a lot of time to get to know those markets, but that's what we do.
You know, but you live and breathe numbers. Jamaica Plain. How is the market in Jamaica Plain? Do you seeing more development happening? Are we foreseeing this lack of inventory continue on? And how are you seeing it right now?
There's a lot of new development in Jamaica Plain. Some large buildings, a lot of new rentals. Who was on just a little while ago, probably could speak to that.
Mm-hmm.
We've lived in Jamaica Plain for 20 years now, and I've seen in the last year, it looks different than what it did a year or two ago.
It feels different. There's new restaurants that are coming in. There's a lot of activity that's happening.
Well, it'll be really interesting to see what happens in that Washington Street corridor. It was really interesting.
Yes.
We had a client. We sold their house about 2.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They moved down to Connecticut to be closer to family. They just popped back in 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they called Eric, and they're like, what is going on in Jamaica Plain? We're used to it because we, you know, it's kind of like your hair growing.
Changing.
You don't notice it growing.
unless it's my hair.
That we'd notice.
Everyone would notice.
Yeah. So we were kind of seeing Jamaica Plain through their eyes, and we're like, oh, yeah, the overpass has come down. There's all that new construction on Washington Street. There's lots and lots of changes. So it's actually really interesting.
It's vibrant.
Yeah.
It's in the city. It's growing, changing. And that's what's fun, being a part of that.
Yeah, it's fun.
We're seeing it being cyclical. I'm going to ask the same question I think Rick asked Sue before. Do you predict a softening? Do we predict a bubble?
No, not at all. I'm not going to predict a bubble at all. And here's the real question that I have.
You have 20 seconds.
When is the trend going to stop towards urbanization? And that's when we're going to see prices soften. We are part of a national organization. We're on the phone and talking and communicating with people on a weekly and daily basis all over the country. We're still talking to people on the south coast of Connecticut that haven't even gotten back to bubble prices yet. Okay.
Right.
And we are double bubble prices in the
city.
Okay, so really what we're talking about here in Boston, if you want to talk about our market specifically, is what's going on with, are people going to continue to move to the cities?
If you're a buyer, you're a seller, you're interested in Jamaica Plain, how would they reach you?
FocusRE.com.
FocusRE.com or call 855-4-ASK-RICK. We'll make a personal introduction to Eric and Randall.
Okay, you guys are great. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Thanks, Holly.
If you're just tuning in, this is Real Estate Radio Boston. Up next, we've got Michael Montero. He is with Buildium, a property management software. We're going to get a lot of great inside information. Stay tuned. Be right back. Welcome back, WBZ 1030, Real Estate Radio Boston.
Check us out at realestateradioboston.com. This show is made possible through the sponsors that we have there. And what you'll notice is on the left-hand side, or I'm sorry, the right-hand side of the page, all the sponsors are actually noted there. And previous guests, these are real estate agents, brokers that we know, like, and trust. We've done business with them. So if you are in the market to buy a place, text the word buyer to 617-548-7425. Conversely, if you're planning on listing your property, text the word seller to 617-548-7425. We'll make a personal introduction to a real estate agent that will be able to take care of your sale or guide you through your purchase.
Absolutely. Excited to have in Michael Montero. He is with Buildium, which is a property management software. And I'm looking forward to a nice, fresh perspective from the software guy.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Tell us, Buildium, what's that all about?
Well, like you mentioned, we are a software company. We sell cloud software to residential property managers all around the country. We have about 13,000 of them today. And what we do is we help real estate professionals run, simply stated, a more efficient and profitable business. And we do that by automating all of the time-consuming stuff, the stuff that takes a lot of time, but it's low value, like collecting rent and screening tenants. And that allows our customers to focus on the higher value stuff, like providing great customer service or growing their business.
How did the idea come about?
Yeah, well, it started 12 years ago. I've now been at Buildium longer than any other place before. I was a software guy leading up to Buildium. I wrote software for big companies. I was a consultant. And I had this interest in real estate. So I bought a rental property about an hour from here in Providence, Rhode Island, with another guy that I worked with. And so we bought a four-family, a three-family, and a two-family, renting mostly to college students down in Providence.
Oh, that's got to be fun.
Yeah, it was a good learning experience.
Did you have a management company helping you at the time?
No, it was our business. We did it ourselves, so we did it on the side. And my business partner, Dimitri, he was the bookkeeper. He was the guy responsible for making sure our tenants had paid their rent every month. Mm. And I remember asking him one day, I said, hey, Dimitri, have all our tenants paid their rent this month? And he's looking at our bank balance online. He's looking at the deposits that had come in. And I'll never forget it. He said, I don't know, it looks pretty close. And and I was looking for a yes or no. The pretty close, I didn't know. Do I need a bookkeeper?
You're going to fire your accountant.
Yeah, do I need a bookkeeper? So I started looking for software. And I found a bunch of software back then. It was around 2002, 2003. It was all desktop-based, though. Mm. And across the board, it was really hard to use, really expensive, and just way more than what we needed. So Dimitri, being a build-it kind of guy, said, why don't we build something simple for us? It was online, and we thought if it's useful for us, maybe it would be useful and valuable for others, and that's how it started.
That's really cool. I've been on your website, and it's really interesting because you can there's a little sliding scale that you have on the website, and it says how many units do you have, do you need to manage?
That's right.
And there's a really exact science of what the cost of the software would be per month, per unit.
That's right.
For the management company, it takes the guesswork out, certainly.
That's right.
Management, I mean, I own some real estate, and I use different management companies for that, depending on where they are geographically, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I think there are definitely challenges with the management side because you rely on them in giving you the breakdown, giving your profit and loss statements, et cetera. What are the strengths of the software? Are there other competitors in the market with you? And how do you stand out?
Yeah, it's a great question. So it is a crowded market, and first and foremost, there is a lot of challenge with property management as a business. There's a lot of complexity. The average property manager offers 12 different services today, and most property managers believe it or not, in 2016 are still relying on manual, time-consuming processes. So we help create efficiency through automation. We help streamline, as I said at the start, all the things that take a lot of time, like collecting rent. So instead of waiting for checks to arrive in the mail, you can do it electronically. You can save the time from having to record that check. It automatically records in the software. So we're streamlining the low value tasks that take a lot of time and creating that efficiency. But to be frank, a lot of companies do that. What really sets Buildium out from the competition is we're not only helping you create that efficiency to run a better business, but we're then putting you in a position to grow, and we are the only property management software platform in the market that will help you grow by connecting you with landlords and community associations that are looking for services that you provide. So we're helping them win new business.
Interesting. Now, I mean, for management companies, I mean, efficiency means profitability, right?
Sure.
The more efficient you are, the more money you can make, and the more competitive you can be, because property management companies, there are a dime a dozen in around the city, right?
That's right.
And so the more efficient you run your business, the more you can attract more landlords. How do you bring landlords and management companies together?
Yeah, we do that through a company we acquired a year ago. We acquired a company called All Property Management, and APM is the leading digital marketing company vertically focused on property management. So what we do through APM service is we get in front of people that are looking online, landlords and associations, self-managed associations that say, you know what, I'm done, I've had it, I want to hire somebody now. And so we get in front of those folks, we qualify them, and then we connect them with our customers, and then our customers are able to convert
them
into new business.
Yeah,
win-win.
And I've said it here before, I mean, property managers, man, God love them, because when their phone rings, it's not ever like, hey, just call and say you're doing a good job. Hey, notice you took my rent pretty quick. Thank you very much. No, it's hey, this is broken, that's broken, I'm having issues. And that's the time-consuming stuff.
Sure.
And really, that's where you can set, as a property manager, time to deal with those issues efficiently and effectively, and not having to worry about all the back end stuff. That really sets that property
it's
manager
absolutely
apart.
Absolutely brilliant.
Well.
Let me ask you this. You have a really awesome perspective, because you don't just deal with the city of Boston. You are a national company. You deal with all different geographical areas in the nation. Bringing it back more local, bringing it back more focused to Boston vicinity, etc. We've seen in previous segments there is tremendous amount of interest by investors, foreign investors, local investors, in wanting to make investments in the city. We talked with Rick at the beginning of the segment with regards to challenges associated with condo projects and investment infiltration percentages, so on and so forth. All of that is driven by lack of inventory, rising rents. Do you think that the rents are going to continue to rise? Where do you foresee this? What does your forecast say?
Yeah, so you're asking me for my crystal ball.
Of course. Now. This is what I do for a living.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I actually close loans for a living.
It's interesting. Yeah, Boston is still one of the most expensive rental markets in the U.S. In fact, I think it's only second to New York City, San Francisco, and Silicon Valley. So we have one of the most expensive rental markets in the country. And in fact, I think I saw an article in 2015, rents increased 6% that year, and that's the highest rate over the last several years. So it's been skyrocketing. It's on a clip. And also, the average rent is now over $2,000 a month for the first time ever. And what's driving that are some of these large economic and demographic trends, the number of millennials and immigrants that have dramatically increased the number of rental households in the U.S. That's a driving force. Mm. Also, the changing preferences of Gen Xers and baby boomers wanting to rent versus own, downsizing, and you have massive numbers of people that are doing that. And so,
let me stop you there for a minute. Yeah. I mean, that's a really good point you make. I mean, I talk to my niece, nephews. I mean, these are in their early 20s, and I ask them, "My God, why don't you invest in real estate? For the love of God, I made the mistakes. Learn from my mistakes."
Nope.
And they go, "You know what, Uncle Ali? I don't want to invest in
commitment
real estate.
Issues.
I'm Gen Xer. I want flexibility. I don't even want to get into a lease. I'd rather do the month-to-month thing, because I don't know where I'm going to be in 6 months from now." That is such a reality today.
Yeah, you're
and
right.
And you're saying that that's driving the rents
higher.
That's
driving it. I mean, I'm 44. When I came out of school, I was thinking about, oh, I got to buy a home. I got to start saving up for that first condo. And you talk to people today in their 20s, early 30s, it's not even on their radar. And I think that's driven by a bunch of things, but it's driven by the subscription economy. People were all now used to renting and subscribing right. to services. We don't buy the way we used to. And so it's becoming very common. It's also being driven by people wanting the flexibility and the mobility that comes from renting versus
But I also think the older generation is starting to catch on to it, because I've heard over and over the families, you know, empty nesters in Wellesley, Weston, you know, all these different places are going in and renting for a year or two in the water, in the waterfront district or Back Bay, just to see where they even want to be if they want to, you know, throw down and commit to a property.
Makes sense.
Michael, this was phenomenal information. If there are management companies out there that want to understand more about your business, how can people reach you?
Sure. They can call us at 888-414-1988 or our website.
One more time, the phone number?
Yep, 888-414-1988 or buildium.com. That's buildium.com.
Perfect. Michael, thank you for being part of the show.
Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, pleasure.
If you're just tuning in, this is Real Estate Radio Boston. Ali and I will be right back. Stay tuned. Welcome back, WBZ 1030, Real Estate Radio Boston. Guys, head over to our website. If you missed any of our show, download the podcast there. You can literally listen to the shows on the go and or right on the website as well. But if you did miss any of the show today, we had Sue Hawks. She is with the Collaborative Companies. What a phenomenal company that really helps developers understand what the luxury market, what the buyer wants, starts from the ground up. And but when these properties are built, they're there in the sales office showing you the experience and selling you on the atmosphere, on the building itself.
Absolutely. And a quick shout out to Randall Engelman and Eric Gould of Focus Real Estate talking to us about the JP market and surrounding towns, and really what their projections were with regards to what the market's gonna do, and the fact that their attitude and their outlook is that there is no softening, there is no bubble, this is going to continue at the same level that it has been.
Yeah, and I love the fact that they named their company Focus, because it's all about the client, not about them. The stats that we had talked about before are just unbelievable. So reach out to those guys if you're looking in the JP or Boston market.
And a quick thank you to Michael Montero of Buildium, a cloud-based software for property managers. Really insightful information there as well.
Absolutely, Bill. Well, listen, hey, have a great rest of your weekend.
You too, my friend.
See ya.
The information in this program is for informational purposes only and is not intended to provide legal, investing, or financial advice. This program is a service of Rick Shearer of Guaranteed Rate and Ali Alavi of Alavi & Braza PC. Guaranteed Rate Incorporated is not owned by or affiliated with Alavi & Braza PC.